Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself. The answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boom!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW Progress. And it's a full studio here, even without Big Head, who continues the summer of Andy. But we're going to be here for the next 2 hours, talking Patriots and everything else. And before I introduce the crew and give out the call numbers and all that stuff, I just want to apologize for Thursday's show.
Rightly so, Fred.
I sent out a tweet doing the same thing earlier today, but I've been getting emails and tweets from listeners just saying a horrendous job Andy did. And, you know.
Concur. And Four Eyes wasn't that much better either.
You know, I have to say that when I'm not here, I think it's the obligation of you guys to keep up the show. And, you know, if he can't handle the hosting duties, then, you know, that's not
saying. He clearly can't.
That's not saying much for him. You know, here's the thing with Andy. You know, he puts up this whole macho, you know, I take steroids and lift weights and I'm a tough guy. Thing, but really, he's very insecure, and it comes through, you know, in his interactions with people, particularly when of the opposite sex. He just doesn't know how to handle himself around it, and it's embarrassing. So I want to apologize for that, and to Three Wise, who, you know, from what I heard,
Four Eyes is what we're going to call her from now on. She wears glasses, you know.
Well, we don't do that.
Well, that's real mature.
Yeah. That's
no more mature issue than she was on the show.
She wears glasses,
but
and you call her Four
from
Eyes.
The feedback I got, she did a great job.
You know what,
you know,
Fred?
Yeoman's work putting
to
up
make
with that idiot.
I wanted to make that distinction and very well put to open the show. But I did get a lot of people, including Lindsay herself, by the way, who couldn't help but retweet
all the positive comments she had on the show.
Right. A lot of people said that Lindsay really held her own, didn't take part in the infantile behavior,
right,
quote
right
from
oh,
one
yes,
of the
did
emails. And that she did a really, really nice job you know, offering her thoughts and opinions on the Patriots and whatnot and keeping it to football and having some fun, but not stooping to the, you know, the seventh-grade lunchroom.
And, having fun at my expense.
And I have this big...
Let's be clear about that.
I'm all for that, and we'll continue that as the show comes.
She definitely did reference to Eric. Yeah.
She's a little obsessed.
Now basically,
you're really not supposed to talk
until I introduce you, because people don't know who you are. So I'll do that in a second. Oh, okay. But, you know, I have this screen in front of me that, you know, now I can see all the phone calls as they come in and who's on the line. But there's also a little chat box that you can chat to the studio. Mm-hmm. And I have the remnants from Thursday's show. And I have Andy here calling me an idiot. Fred reads this on the air like an idiot. You know, like he does. You know,
did you just go through puberty right there?
Did he make his voice crack like that?
No. But, you know, I mean, how dare he?
You know, how dare he?
He
harumph.
You know, he basically tries to ruin the show in one day. And, you know,
I don't think he tries, Fred. I think that's just naturally him. He's just a terrible
how
person.
How long it takes us to
terrible host.
I think he needs
build
counseling.
It back up again.
I mean, professional counseling. I think he needs to
go
to a
therapist.
He's
a 30-year-old man with an 11-year-old's mind.
But it's
so,
to cover up
yes,
some
he
insecurities that he
he's
has.
He's 33.
You know, I think you have to go deep into his childhood to figure out,
make sure that, okay.
You know, what happened where he just doesn't know how to interact with other human beings. He really doesn't. and this whole, you know, the
human,
it's all masked.
He said human.
Yeah, it's all masked by, you know, the weightlifting and I'm a tough guy and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Tough
and,
guy.
You know,
guy. Eric, yeah. You're like,
you
that.
Know, you know, can you imagine, if one of us were in fact gay, how uncomfortable that would make him, you know?
I'm not gay and it makes me uncomfortable.
Right. But it's just like he doesn't know how to handle anything that's not exactly like him. So.
Yeah, he stopped evolving around age 12.
Again, I apologize. Anyway, on to this show. We'll be here until
mentally,
2 o'clock.
Of course,
you are going to read. You are going to read at least one or two of those emails.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398. That's the ACE ticket hotline. And joining us today, you heard his voice earlier, Basil from Marlboro. Hey, Basil, how you doing?
Hey, Fred.
Just thought he'd stop in, buy us lunch. He's here with his friend
Pat.
Yeah,
speaking of that, dumbass behind the glass, Kevin, next time you send out an email asking for lunch, let us know who's buying lunch. Because the reason I didn't get it was because I didn't want to take advantage of our friend James, the most interesting fan in the world. Had I known it was going to be Basil, I would have clearly taken advantage of his generosity.
Take your skirt off.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah, he's feeling tough now. He's got another girl in the studio.
Now
so
we have a continuation.
He's feeling like a tough guy.
Now we have a continuation of the Thursday show. By the way, there's a cast of thousands behind the glass as well.
Yeah, Kevin from upstairs, who's been helping out Chris Ferrer over the last few months with the web. And also another person. Is this another intern?
KSP, yep.
Her name is KSP?
No, KSP intern, not our intern.
Her name is KSP intern.
Nope.
What's her name? Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Her name's Rachel.
Rachel. Hello, Rachel.
Hi.
And are you here for the season or no?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Are you here for the season?
Hopefully.
Oh, so you're kind of auditioning?
Yeah. Well, I've been with KSP since May, so hopefully they'll take me on for the full season.
Okay. You look like somebody.
I get that all the time.
On TV. Who is
it? I get that. I've been told
the weirdest
people.
Who does she look
people.
Like?
I don't really see. Like?
There is some. Yeah, she actually looks like my cousin in Italy.
All right.
Really?
A little bit.
Italian.
No, who do people say that you look like?
No, I'm not Italian.
Oh. No.
Who do people say that you look
against
like?
You.
Oh, my gosh. I've been told so many. Ashley Simpson.
Yeah, yep.
I've
I got that.
Lily.
Yep.
Sobieski?
Yes.
No, you look nothing
you
like
don't
her.
Look like anything like her. No.
Good, because I don't think she's that cute. So
I do see a little Ashley Simpson now that you mention it.
I've actually been mistaken for her multiple times when she first came out.
You could leverage that.
Yeah, you should have
I
leveraged
know.
It.
I had a girl in a train station taking my pictures once. It was really creepy.
Well, you already have more personality than Kevin. So
That's what they told me Thursday.
That's damning
too,
with the faintest of praise, though. For
that's
me. I mean, it's not like
if you can figure out how to do drop-ins, you're hired.
I know how to do drop-ins.
Oh, then you're hired.
I mean for this show.
I have. No, I did them Thursday.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah?
He did some on Thursday.
Well, then get him away from the board.
Let's hear one.
Because Kevin couldn't stand to be away from the microphone. He had to leave. The studio
there you go. Perfect. You know. Kevin, see ya.
He had to get in here.
You can send emails, right?
All right.
Yeah, I can send emails.
Then
I'm
you're
pro
then
at
fine.
Sending emails.
Then you're fine.
Okay, great.
Wow. And she sounds, you know, quite mature, too. Like,
I'm sorry, what?
Well, confident.
Quite what?
No, wait, confident.
You know, what would you just say?
How old do you think I am?
Wow.
That's
be
never
fun.
A good. That's never a good
that's
question
close.
To answer.
No, because he thought I was 19. I'm 24. So.
I was going to go with 24.
Where are
I
you?
Was gonna, the chest or the throat? I was going to go with the throat.
No, but you exude confidence.
Oh, thank you.
So, what did you do that, you know, gave you that confidence? Like, what have you done before this?
Well, I worked
or are
at,
you just arrogant?
I'm just arrogant. I'm cocky. No,
Excellent.
Worked at,
I have company now.
I work at JMN 94.5 right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, I intern there, and I intern at Entertainment Tonight.
Well, you have a good personality. I can tell.
Thank you.
I can tell.
I appreciate
That's
that.
That's good. All right. So back to the show here. We've introduced the Studio number 2, which now has more people in it than Studio number 1.
We should call it Studio 54 with all these people in
right.
it.
Right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Unfortunately, we don't have any announcements to talk about as far as the CBA. They're still meeting. But I'm hopeful. There's been a couple dates thrown out, one this Friday, one the July 21st, to have things done. I believe they will have things done by July 21st. I think right now, and again, this is just my thinking. I don't have anything to base this, you know, any facts. But what I think they're doing right now is getting the wording down, ironing out the details so that they can have something to present to the owners next week and to vote on.
But what about this whole controversy over this supposed controversy over the rookie wage system?
It's one part of it.
Do you think that there's credence to that?
I think that's
really holding up the bargaining?
I don't know if it's holding up. I think it's just something that they have to work through. I don't think it's holding it up. I think that, you know, they're going to come down if this Friday is one of the deadlines, they'll come right up to that deadline to get this done, and then they'll get it to a point, a readable point, so that they can vote it on the 21st.
Because the next scheduled mediation with Boylan is the 19th.
Right.
So you have three basic time frames.
What I also hope they're thinking is that by the 19th, we'll also have something to show him and say, look, we've got this done, and so let's get through the paperwork to undo all the legal stuff that we did, the decertification, because, you know, the union has to recertify. All these suits have to be dropped so that they can just go ahead and vote on this CBA and open the season. And, you know, they've gone as far as to release certain things that will happen if it does get done by the 21st, like, you know, when unsigned free agents can be signed, and they're going to have a little window where you sign your own players. Seemingly, they have that already mapped out. So I'm hopeful that
they've had that timetable for whenever the lockout ends. They had one in March, they had one in May, they had one in July, and they have one for October.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the lockout ends, this is the time frame, and all they've done is they've taken the time frame from July 1st and moved it ahead to the 21st.
Yeah,
but the key factor I thought in that was the a couple of things. The short window that they did hold open to re-sign your own, which we talked about last week, Freddie, you and I.
Yep.
If I recall, you scoffed at me for that. So didn't they already have that time? And I also thought the week, you know, as we all expected, the week at least between whenever a new CBA is agreed upon and the opening of any kind of football-related, you know, the league here, you know, the start of free agency, the opening of training camps, anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's encouraging, but I don't want to cast a negative light on all this talk, but I'm still not buying it all, you know, and I felt like this for the last month and a half. Every day it seems we read a story that it's imminent and it's going to get done by the end of whatever that particular week is, and then another side comes out and says, I'd be shocked if it were done within the next 10 days. I think that, and we've seen that again today with the players. The players are sort of coming up with the idea, the notion that the owners are putting out all this positive spin to sort of put the pressure on the players to agree to it. And I think that's a very plausible scenario. I could see that. I could see that either side doing it, either side saying, yeah, we're close.
So that when it doesn't get done, they can say,
you have a blame. Yeah. Yeah, especially now when you know, it's starting to get tight.
It's a good point. But I do think that there is real money involved in, you know, I just think that those people who, if they are holding it up, will get overruled. And, you know, let's just say that this rookie salary cap is one of the things. I think when it comes down to Friday, they're going to say, just look, let's split it down the middle or whatever they have to do to get that done, or leave it out completely and we'll table it for next year or the year after.
That's not happening.
Well, no, I don't think that's going to happen either.
That's
because,
not happening.
Yeah, the talk was, too, that it would be roughly 7 years with a possible three-year extension at the end if
seven
they,
to
they
ten
like
years.
It. So it could, I mean,
but remember, they still have that 18-game season on the table that they said, well, in the last deal that the players walked away from, wouldn't be addressed until 2 years from now and only then with player approval. That's still a bargaining chip in there. So not to say that that's going to have anything to do with this season, but it's still something that owners want and can use as a bargaining chip.
Which one?
The 18 games.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of real things that the owners want that are part of – that's why I don't think it's as close as, you know, some people do. I mean, this whole – they want three players, right of first refusal. I mean, I don't think they're as close.
Being a fan, what do you think about the 18-game season? First of all, forget about preseason because I know that Commissioner Goodell has lumped the two together. What do you think about an 18-game season? You for it or against it?
I'm torn with how I feel about the 18-game season because I'm pretty sure that the same arguments were made when they what it used to be 12 games to 16.
Well, it was 14 to 16.
Yep. I'm sure that they had the same arguments. Oh, it's going to be more games, more injuries. I'm torn with how I feel. I mean, I guess if the players don't want it, I don't know. I mean, it's going to call for more money for the players,
right?
I feel. There's definitely going to be more injuries. I feel that the last two games of the season
are
probably...
You're lukewarm. You could care either way, really, it sounds like. You're not... You know, because the way the league has sort of portrayed it is the fans are clamoring for 18 games.
That's how Goodell has been characterizing it.
I don't think fans are, really. I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm a fan. Yeah, 2 extra weeks of regular season football? Okay. I'm not thinking about what else it affects. I'm just thinking, okay, there's an upside to having 2 extra weeks of football because I love football.
Well, right? but I'm not
thinking about the negative, though.
My argument against it, though, is that I think they're just at the point where they have enough games so that every game is meaningful every week. I don't want it to get to the point where it's like hockey or basketball or baseball.
Yeah.
Way too many effing games that don't matter.
I think they're a long, long way from that.
No, but that's what makes football so great is that there are so few of them, and you have to take advantage of every week.
Well, I think you can add 2 games and still say the same thing you're saying about 16.
You're pushing it. You're really pushing it.
Now, the other thing is the preseason. So now, Basil, the question is, what do you think of preseason? Could you care less if they never had another preseason game?
I understand the importance of preseason. The players need to get into game shape. But then when you look at preseason, you know, we lost Lee Bodden last year, and the receiver for the Rams, you know, he was their number one receiver, and they lost him in the preseason. You know, it's give and take.
Yeah.
It's not so much about getting in shape to me, that you know, the players needing to get in shape. It's
football shape.
Well,
it's different.
Football shape, but it's also you need preseason to decide. You know who your starters are going to be for the most part. You know who your 22 are going to be, by and large, year to year. What you're looking for is who are the backups going to be? How can these rookies play?
Right.
How are they going to fit in this league? Who deserves to be here that doesn't and who doesn't? That's where you sort of.
Well,
need preseason to gauge that because they're not going to get those chances in the regular season.
If they took out formal preseason games, teams would figure it out. They'd have the joint practices. The Giants would come up here.
I'm all in favor of those.
You know, and they'd make those a little bit more formal scrimmages, too.
I like that more.
You could, you know, full speed so that you could get some idea in. They'll have to do it. You know, I think coaches adapt. I think they say as long as it's a level playing field, as long as everyone's adhering to the rules and the rules are clear, we'll do what you tell us. You know, if we don't have preseason people, you know, games to evaluate, we'll deal with it. And, you know, yeah, it hurts some players who might have a great, you know, but we'll, as coaches, adapt and we'll still figure out who the 53 guys are that we want on our team and we'll just go from there. So... it hurts the guys like Sean Morey that, you know, need that preseason. But for fans and for the coaches, they'll just adapt and we'll adapt.
Well, so, what about a guy like Arian Foster, where we probably would have never known who he was without a preseason?
It's possible. Know? You know, you're going to miss out on those. And now.
See, I don't think you will.
Well,
I think
if a guy's that good.
I think talent overrides all. Like James Harrison, I think, would have found a way to emerge somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys that overcome odds. There's guys that slip through cracks. He was one of them.
Right.
You know, he was sort of on the fence. On, you know, he wasn't great right away. took him a little while to develop. but I think that when you have that kind of talent, eventually you're going to find a way to make it.
And coaches will admit, look, they're sure that they miss on people. There's people that probably never played a game in the NFL that, had they been given the chance, might have been great. But we'll never know, and that's just the way it is. You know, you just can't.
Yeah, I hate the preseason, but I don't think playing more than 16 games is a good idea. I think 18 is not too many in terms of, like, making it like the NBA or baseball or any of that. But I just don't – I think there's a finite number of games that you can play at a high level.
Especially
I think every
this
year when you watch the playoffs, you don't always see great, crisp football. You see
right.
a war of attrition. You see the you know, just –
That's why
guys,
I think 18
well,
is too many.
And the biggest
so if you add two more games right. to that and then ask them to play
yeah.
playoffs, I think
well,
it's going to
–
I think but for that reason alone, I think –
Leave it alone.
It's safety.
But
it's,
as far as far as the NFL goes, there's a built-in ceiling because you really can only play one game per week football. And then the calendar puts that ceiling over that where, you know, you can't play in the heat of summer and you can't play in, you know, past January other than the Super Bowl. So there is a built-in cap
but
for
they
games.
Would, you don't think they would ignore that?
I just don't think it's fair to the fans to have regular
it's not, but
regular
would,
season games into January.
See, I totally agree with you, and I think it's already extended too far.
I do too.
I think the
that's
fact
why
that
I'm
they
not
pushed
in favor
it back
of 18
from Labor Day to me.
Right.
I didn't like that move.
Yeah,
I know why
I didn't
they,
like it either.
I know why they did it.
I know
it,
exactly why they did it. But
I want the season to be over before January. We have a game in January pretty much every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first week.
The first
yeah,
week.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
But you know, it is what it is. That's how they do it. I know it was TV ratings for that Labor Day weekend. They didn't feel like we're as strong as they would have been. I think it would be different now. I think your ratings would be completely unaffected now on Labor Day weekend because of how strong the NFL is. That was a long time ago that they yep. made that move. It was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now.
Seems like yesterday, though. You know?
Yeah. Well, can you remember the year we played? We actually played the opener against San Diego in August. It's like 97, maybe, August 31st.
Was it really?
Was a regular season opener. So it wasn't that long ago. It was when, you know, you were certainly doing
yeah.
the paper at the time.
Yeah.
How many yards did Bledsoe throw for in that game?
Oh. I couldn't tell you how many yards, but I can't tell you Terry Glenn had a big day. 41-7 win, something like that?
I remember the cover after the game.
Yeah. Keith Byers was on the cover with the 41.
Right.
And it just had a -7.
Yeah. Paul remembers like every aspect of every game.
But that was an August game. That was a regular season game.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Yep. In August.
Yep. Other news that came out yesterday, Mike Vrabel joining the Ohio State coaching staff. Obviously, Ohio State in disarray right now because of all the problems that they had. So they're trying to rebuild, basically, their football program. And good idea to bring back one of the greats from the program to be the linebackers coach.
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
And that you know, sparked a couple quotes from Bill Belichick yesterday and Robert Kraft, wishing him well in his new endeavor. And then Vrabel thanking Belichick and Scott Pioli for all that they did for him.
So does he, because he was a big part of the negotiations for the,
yes,
most of the time.
He was
so
a
does he just wash his hands of this and walk away?
I think he
isn't
he
a
he
co-plaintiff?
Is. He has to. If he retires, he's can't be a player rep.
Isn't he a co-plaintiff with the Tom Brady case?
No. I don't think he's named in that.
I don't believe he is.
I don't think he is.
That's a good question.
I
think
he
might. I think he was.
Well, you know
actually.
What? Yeah. I
think he was.
I think they used guys that represented different stages of careers, and he might have been that guy that represented the veteran. You might
I think
be right,
he was.
Basil.
I think he was, Basil.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
So is he done with that?
I don't think he can.
I don't think you can take
remove
your name.
Himself
well,
from that.
I think you might be able to do that too. So that's we don't. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah,
so,
Vrabel is named on there.
So good yep. for him.
Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Vincent Jackson, Ben Lieber, Logan Mankins, Peyton Manning,
Von
Miller, Brian Robinson, OC Umanura, Mike Vrabel, Carl Eller, Priest Holmes, Obafemi Ian Badejo.
So he doesn't
Ryan
have
Ryan Collins,
I mean,
and
Carl
Antoine
Eller.
Walker.
I mean, you know, so it's just
Priest Holmes.
It's just guys that are, you know, I don't think you have
so
to.
So that
be
status a, will remain the same.
Right. That'll stay the way it is.
The status will remain quo?
The status is quo, as Bill likes to say.
So good for him. Which
well,
kind of sparked.
Actually, check with Ian and see if Bill really likes to say that.
That sparked a nice little poll that you and Andy were talking about yesterday, Paul. Who was the best linebacker for the Patriots during their Super Bowl run? So let's say 2001 through 2004. Who was the best linebacker? And it's not so obvious.
No, it's not, because, I mean, Roman Pfeiffer is
I
a
think
candidate.
I think there's three great choices.
You got McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Vrabel, and then you throw in Pfeiffer and maybe Brian Cox.
Well, not Cox.
Okay.
Cox
had one good
like three
year.
Games.
Yeah.
Well, he was instrumental in 01.
He didn't play.
Yes, he did.
He got hurt right away.
He had the Jerome Pathan hit.
And that's it.
That sparked him, and he played in the Super Bowl.
Right. But
he
the other guys
he played about five games for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And he was very good in the locker room. Anyway, so I think
so
Paul.
Let's give him the award.
Paul is saying it comes down to Vrabel, McGinnis, and Bruschi.
I would throw Pfeiffer in there, too, as an underrated dark horse candidate.
Okay. But I think Paul is not saying that. I said this is what Paul's saying.
Wow.
You have to inject yourself.
Sorry, I thought talk radio, we were supposed to talk about things. No, but, this is where I get to talk fast, I get Andy Hart.
But would you agree with me, Paul, that it's between those three guys?
Those would be my three, yeah.
Okay.
And it's tough because it depends on what you look at for your criteria. I do agree with you. Now, Andy and I and Fred were talking about this. The summer of Eric was continuing yesterday.
Yeah.
Fred, you and I think we're in agreement on you can't add Vrabel's play as a tight end.
Right.
For this discussion, and I agree with you on that. Now, if you're saying which player was the better player, and that gets added to
right.
Vrabel's resume. But who did more for the Patriots? Yeah, that goes on Vrabel's ledger. Yeah, he did A, B, and C as an outside linebacker, and oh, by the way, caught 85,000 touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that counts.
Yep.
You know, as a tight end. But when you're saying which linebacker was the best,
I
don't think that, you know, the fact that he caught touchdowns in back-to-back Super Bowls and had, whatever, 12 career touchdowns, I don't think that should factor in.
I think you're right.
And Fred brought that up yesterday, and Andy started talking really fast.
Right.
Oh, he disagreed?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm going to, you know, just.
Well, from a pure linebacker standpoint, Vrabel played inside and out quite a bit when asked to,
yep.
And he did so capably in both spots, I would think. Bruschi kind of did that, but not nearly as well.
But Bruschi went from a pure outside guy to being the inside guy.
Right.
You know?
No.
I mean, well, he was a defensive lineman in college.
Yeah, he was out, he played outside.
Right.
And he was an inside,
and he was
but
an
he
inside,
was
inside guy
inside
when he got
linebacker
here.
As a pro.
No, he started on the outside
not
with the Patriots.
Not for Bill Belichick, he didn't.
No, for Parcells.
He was not a 3-4 outside linebacker. For Parcells.
He was never.
He may have been a situational guy they just threw out there to pass.
He never
rush.
Played
he
inside.
He was not an outside linebacker for Bill Parcells.
He was never an inside linebacker for Bill
yes,
Parcells.
Yes, he was.
Oh,
he
God.
Was a backup, but he was not an outside linebacker, Fred.
I think
he was not.
I remember the knock on Bruschi when he first came to the Patriots was he's having trouble in coverage. And he admitted
yes.
it.
Right. He was
that,
in there to rush
true.
The passer.
Yeah.
As a linebacker.
Outside.
Inside. Where do you think he made all those interceptions from? Inside linebacker on Thanksgiving
don't
2002.
Don't you remember the year that he transitioned to inside full-time?
When he started to play. He wasn't a transition on position.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. We'll move on.
Oh, God. This could deteriorate into another
half-hour
argument.
Well, that's why
argument.
I don't want it to.
You know, at Arizona, he was a defensive end,
mm-hmm.
rushed from the outside, broke the NCAA sack record, and, you know,
I have a problem with that statement, too, but I'm going to let it go. Is that okay with you?
What, is that not true?
He was more of an interior defensive lineman in Arizona, but that's okay.
All right. But anyway, I my choice is Bruschi. I think he was the best linebacker. I just think that when you take everything into consideration, the you know, the leadership, you know, the knack for making plays in critical times, he's the guy that I would choose.
It's a tough choice because
I think you can make a really good argument for all three.
Yeah, McGinnis, you know, I think that we've said it before. I think if he had Bill Belichick as his head coach, he might be in the Hall of Fame because he was able to be given an assignment by Belichick and do it. You know, whether it was rushing the passer in the fourth quarter or, you know, covering, he could cover. He stopped the run. We all remember the goal line play against the Colts in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. He did it
miraculous
all.
Miraculous recovery.
He was just not a pass rusher. He could do a lot of things for Belichick. And then Pfeiffer was a heady tackle machine. So I kind of move him out.
I would put McGinnis third. I'm having trouble with the having trouble giving it to either Brewski or Vrabel. I'm leaning toward Vrabel, I think.
But
just because of his versatility.
It is a good question. Yeah. And I think you can make, like I said, a really good argument for all of them. You know, Brewski, as you said, Fred, and I will agree with this part, very versatile, could do a lot of different things for you, and definitely did before anybody. He did rush from the edge earlier in his career. I think he was more of an inside lineman, but he did rush from the edge. He has played up front, and, his complete transition as a traditional 3-4 inside linebacker was remarkable. And he talked about that a lot when he retired. And I remember him talking about that play on Thanksgiving that we always mention in Detroit when he says he really felt for the first time. He was drafted in 96, remember. This is 2002.
Right.
He said he felt for the first time that he was actually a linebacker. That's a long time.
Yep.
That shows you how hard that was for him to master that. And, you know, from 2002 to, say, 2004, before he had the stroke in that offseason, I mean, he just made a boatload of big plays. He had that streak where I think four interceptions in a row, he returned
for touchdowns. Stripping
Basil,
the ball away from...
with a mouthful of chicken parm. veal parm.
Stripping the ball away against the Colts.
Dominic Rhodes play.
Against Dominic Rhodes. Yep.
Another great play. Mm-hmm. Another great play. So, I mean, you can make a great argument for Teddy. For Vrabel, the guy played basically 100% of the defensive snaps for like 6 years in a row.
And he's another guy
he missed those, I think he missed like two games with a broken arm.
Right.
And that was it as a Patriot.
And he's another guy who was an outside guy that when he had to, went inside and played really, really well.
Eric made that point of, and that was in 05 when they couldn't stop anybody.
And I was going to say, he stabilized the defense by going inside. They were porous. And he helped stabilize them.
That's why I think
bit.
I'm going to give him the nod for number one.
McGinnis had the whole thing with the sacks and the playoffs. The timely plays like the one on the goal line against the Colts in 03 on the goal line stand.
Yep.
And I think he had something like four sacks in the playoff game against Jacksonville.
Yep.
One of those years. Now
broke the playoff record.
Some of that, is mixing up whether it was actually between 01 and 04, the championship years, and when they actually happened. But you could make a strong argument for all three of those guys.
Yep. And
I think I'll go with Vrabel because I like him.
And you look back at that and you say, wow, is it any wonder they had all that success with that type of strength at linebacker? Because in a 3-4, you got to have good linebackers.
Yep.
You
need a lot of them, and they got to be good.
And now they have one.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's say hello to Sean in Salt Lake. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, Sean?
Well, just on the linebacker talk, I would have to go with McGinnis.
Okay.
Every linebacker we look for he's the prototype. But that wasn't the reason I was calling. On the whole thing with Vrabel and the lawsuit in federal court, on the news yesterday, they said they will be doing an amendment to remove him from as a plaintiff.
Okay, we missed that.
Okay. Now, was that his choice? Did he ask
to be
removed?
No, just because he's no longer a player, they have to remove him.
Well, Carl Eller isn't a player anymore.
But he's part of a different suit that was added on to it.
Oh, Priest Holmes isn't a player. What's he part of?
Right. So I don't know.
He's part of the retired players group.
Is he?
I believe so.
I mean, I know Carl Eller is, but is Priest Holmes? Because I haven't. Yeah. I didn't. The first I knew.
Well, he's retired,
even involved,
right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, so I would think that's why.
But
he's
not
in
a player, is he? Well, I mean, I think it's contradictory. Why can't Mike Vrabel be retired and on that list?
Right.
He's not a player anymore.
Because
he's retired.
Because
just like Carl Eller.
No, but
he wants to be removed from the list. Is probably what I'm saying. And I think that is it.
Yeah.
Scott.
Sean.
I think that's what Sean's probably saying was part of that news thing. I think Vrabel probably wanted that.
Yeah.
If he wanted to be still involved with it, there's no difference between him and Carl Eller. They're retired players.
Right.
No, but Eller's suit was different and was added to this. So he would have to be part of one, like, because he was with Brady in the beginning, he was a current player. Now he would have to ask to be part of that. I think Priest Holmes was part of the Carl Eller group to begin with.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, to me, it's selective rules.
So on something else, I have a solution for the labor problem.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Last I heard, they were basically $300 million, but there's rumors that they've got that all figured out. And the latest thing is the rookie salary cap. On the players' issue, it is benefits. That pretty much sums it up, right?
It's what? It's benefits?
The rookie wage seems like the major stumbling block right now. The owners want
a fifth year option
at a team option
for first round picks.
They want for the first round picks, and they want ceilings in for that fifth year option for that salary. The players want, it's kind of complicated. They want it broken up half and half, and what that actual compensation for the fifth year would be is basically the stumbling block.
Okay, so you take the $300 million that they're arguing over.
I don't know
where you're getting this number from. I mean, that might have been from a few weeks ago. Somebody might have reported something like that, but I don't know if there's any.
All right, let's say that they are arguing over $300 million.
But what $300 million? What are we talking? I mean,
the amount of revenue that they want to kick back. These, you know.
The last I heard, it was $300 million, and then they kind of got it worked out, but they didn't want. But they're fighting over the rookie cap. So my solution is, give up a little bit of the money, give the players a little bit more money, and then they'll easily go on the cap because it really doesn't affect any of them at the bargaining table.
Okay.
But what they're saying, Sean, is that when a rookie gets to his fifth year, he's not a rookie anymore. He's a veteran, and they deserve to be treated like veterans is what the players are arguing. And it doesn't matter how much you give them. It doesn't matter how much you give the players who are currently veterans. They're worried about the rookies becoming veterans later and getting so-called screwed. I use that in air quotes by the system.
So, all right, thanks for the call, Sean.
I'm not sure where the $300 million is coming from, and I think that's part of the problem. Sean's got a solution that I don't think is necessarily needed because I don't think there's really any issue over any $300 million. So, you're bargaining with something, I think, that doesn't exist. It'd be like me saying, as an NFL owner, well, you guys won't have to play spring training baseball games next year, but you give me 18 games. Well, you don't have to play spring training baseball, so I'm not really giving you anything.
Well, I mean,
basically, real quick, Fred, I'll just read this off of Florio so people kind of understand what the parameters of the rookie cap, the rookie wage scale, which is probably a better way to put it. It's not really a cap. For the first eight, this is what the owners want. The first 32 players selected to be required to sign four-year contracts with a team option for a fifth year. The first eight players in round one, the fifth-year pay would be 150% of the average salary of a starter at the player's position, with a floor of $6 million and a ceiling of $12 million. For the next eight players in round one, fifth-year salary would be 125% of the average starter, with a guaranteed minimum of 5, limit of 10. For the second half of round one, pay in the fifth year would be the average of the player's position with no minimum pay figure. So that's what the owners want. So three tiers, 8-8-8. The players have proposed instead the first 16 picks, the fifth year would be the average of the 10 highest paid at that position. In the second half of round one, the players would want the average of the top 20 highest paid players at each position. And seemingly they are not in agreement about that. I don't think that sounds like it's all that far apart.
Yeah.
Personally. And Florio's been writing this. I totally agree with it. I don't understand what the owners are clinging to on this one, because if you can't accurately make a determination on a player whether you want to pay that kind of money 3-4 years into a guy's career, you have bigger problems than your salary cap. You have talent evaluation issues.
Right. Consider
if you don't know a guy is Jamarcus Russell by year four,
right,
as opposed to Peyton Manning by year four, what is the issue? Why would you not want to pay that guy the average of the top 10?
Mm.
And if you don't, you walk away. If you don't think he's worth that money, 4 years should be sufficient evaluation time. I don't think Bill Belichick would have a hard time saying, that guy's not worth 100, right. Whatever.
Perfect example, I think, would be Lawrence Maroney. Look how many chances he got. And by the fourth year, people were saying, all right, we know what we're getting with Lawrence Maroney. Even by the third year, people were saying that.
That might be one of the more complicated guys that you could encounter. The ultimate tease kind of a player. When he's healthy, he shows flashes. Maybe, but still, I agree with Eric. No one would have given him the average of the top 10 running backs. They would have let him go, and they wouldn't have lost an ounce of sleep over it.
Right.
Much like the Patriots didn't when they dealt him for next to nothing.
Yep. So, all right. But, you know, it's as a fan, it's tough to sit home and try to figure out solutions because we don't know half the facts.
That's part of the reason why I don't think this rookie wage scale is the only stumbling block. And they're not as close as they're saying.
Right.
That, to me, when I can when I can accurately look at that and say, geez, that doesn't seem like it's that big a deal. I have no business acumen whatsoever. We're all well aware of that. That doesn't seem to be something that would be holding this up at this stage. It seems too simple. If I understand it, it's got to be too simple. There's got to be something else going on behind closed doors that we don't know about.
Well, see, I think in a perfect world, the owners would want rookie salary wage scale, and then, you know, they're free agents after that. We sign them to whatever we want with no restrictions as to how much we have to sign them for. Players obviously against that.
But the owners want the fifth year. The players would take that in a heartbeat. The
players would definitely take
4 years, that's it?
Oh, yeah.
The players would take that and run.
That's what they're basically
asking for. That's what
they
want everybody to be a free agent after 4 years.
Right. But players...
The owners don't want that.
I've heard players say that they're afraid that the owners are going to use this rookie wage scale to reset salaries. So in other words... You know, after this first group goes through, after 4 years, we've basically reset the salaries of the NFL to a lower level because we've paid our rookies lower. So now they're starting from a lower level, and so their next contract will be lower than someone who wouldn't have been under the rookie wage scale. And that's what they're afraid of, is a resetting.
But if they're that good, when it's time to resign, they'll get paid what their market value is worth.
But eventually, those salaries will work their way out. And, you know, I don't want to get into politics, but it's a lot like what...
I agree with you on this. I think that the owners are trying to...
Right. It's a lot like
And I think the players are afraid of it, and that is what the owners are trying to do.
Right. And I think that's what the players are trying to avoid, is a resetting of the salaries in the NFL. So... That's what they're afraid
Basically,
of.
Basically, the way it's coming down right now, and I don't... Again, I don't pretend to know... My opinions are based on these reports that other people are putting out there, and I have no idea how to, you know, establish the validity of any of it.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to me the players are even close to winning on anything.
We simply do not know all the facts.
It seems like the players' big win is that whole 90%, you know, that whatever the 95%, like the floor is going to go up.
Yeah.
That's a big win for the players.
That's it. That's all they're getting.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, it seems like they're going to get right of first refusals. They're going to have this fifth year thing is going to basically allow them to franchise more than one guy, because you'll be able to franchise a guy and franchise your first round pick every year, by the way.
Yeah.
Most teams get a first round pick every year.
Right.
So every year you'll be able to franchise two guys.
Some get two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or more. It seems to me the players, and maybe this is why it's not getting done. The players know they're getting killed and they're not going to sign it. I don't know.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's 12:44, so we need to take the 12:44 break. A lot of emails coming in about Thursday's show. We'll get to those right after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again. To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Eddie was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here, minus Big Head, but we're plus two. Basil
Are we really
and
plus
Pat.
Two?
Yeah.
And one and a half. Another guy hasn't sent anything over here.
That's all right.
From the guest.
He's just hanging out.
Well, because we asked him before the show if he was a fan, and
it's not a Rondo. You know what I'm going to say over there? You don't have much you can talk into the mic. Is this mic on?
Yeah, it's on.
He's got his Rondo shirt on and his
Rondo shirt. He's a big Beckett, Red Sox fan.
His Beckett necklace.
Beckett necklace. Yep.
Necklaces.
He's all set.
But not a not so much a Patriots fan, Fred. I don't know.
No, he is. He's my latest protege. He's taken over for Alex. Remember Alex? He was here last year.
I know this sort might of. Come as a surprise, Basil, but we don't remember everybody.
That's okay. He's moved on to bigger and better things.
Did he buy us lunch? No, we don't remember him then.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398
is the
ace ticket hotline. As you know, Thursday's show, as I said at the top of this show, was
a
debacle.
Oh, yeah.
Train wreck.
Andy was just horrible, didn't know how to behave in front of someone of the opposite sex, doesn't know how to behave in front of anyone that's not exactly like him.
Who could possibly be like him?
He's got problems. So we had a lot of emails, and I think it's only fair that we read them because, you know, people want to air their grievances. And, you know.
Have at it, then.
We should get into that.
Kind of
PJ writes in.
A Midsummer Festivus?
From Philly.
Festivus for the rest of us. PJ.
I don't find that funny. I never watched Seinfeld.
Right. That's on the top of the list of my grievances with him.
You really went bald there, didn't you?
His stubbornness. PJ says, I have to write in to tell you how horrible Thursday's show was. Andy was terrible. Lindsay sounded cute on the radio, and she seemed to know her sports, but couldn't seem to get a word in amongst Andy's infantile humor, which isn't really funny after the first 50 times he laughs at an innocuous word. And Kevin trying to take over the show and suck up to Andy. Here's the recap. That's another one. I have problems with you, too, Kevin.
I thought you were going to call him
A-H.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to run the board.
Yeah. Run the board from inside here on the microphone? Yeah. The show started with Andy trying to set the table, as Fred does, but to no avail. After listening to him babble and try to flirt with Lindsay to try to shock her with his immaturity, he finally got to the emails. The only problem was that he couldn't get through one email without telling a stupid joke, which, by the way, is even worse when you guys aren't there just to ignore him and continue the conversation. So when Lindsay didn't laugh, he had to explain to her why the failed attempt at lowbrow humor was funny. When he did get through an email, he'd go off on a tangent about something ridiculous and not answer the emailer's question. It was a total train wreck, with Andy giving the excuse that he sabotaged the show on purpose so he doesn't have to host again. Which, that isn't that terrible? That's just awful. Just admit that. Be a man and admit you're not up to the task.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Not a man.
Ask this guy. Got no stones.
Finally, the show came to a screeching halt when Kevin tried to take over the show and flirt with Lindsay himself. While at the same time trying to gain Andy's approval with the most ridiculous and unfunny Andy-like humor he could come up with. Here are two highlights. One, an emailer wrote to tell Andy he was quick-witted, to which he replied, "I can rhyme something with that." His little sidekick Kevin said, "Yeah, Andy is quick-witted, but Lindsay is big, blank." Andy couldn't let this go and had to say, "No, they aren't big, but they are nice." And off we went on a tangent that made me think I was in my seventh grade lunch table again. Two, an email came in with a game to pick one of five or so players that will have a breakout year. Lindsay said, "I'll go first so you don't take mine." Andy says, "Oh, take mine. That sounds dirty." Lindsay sounded confused and said, "No, it really doesn't." Well played, Lindsay. She didn't really buy into Andy's humor, which made for some uncomfortable embarrassment by Andy, which he played off by explaining to her why it was funny, like she didn't get it. If that didn't work, he turned the whole thing on Eric. So you weren't even there, and he turned it on you.
Well, that's what he does. That's, you know.
All in all, it was the worst show I ever heard, even behind the Paul Perillo solo show, where we got some good information.
You get behind that show, my friend, and you have really failed.
At least there we got some good information, but it took him 40 minutes to break down each emailer's question. I can't wait for today's show to get the bad taste out of my mouth. Insert Andy's stupid joke here.
So, I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I thought that was a very well thought out critique.
The only one, just the best one.
Right. Yeah. Chris writes in, "Hey, guys, and Eric, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Fred, don't ever leave us again like you did the other week. It was the first time ever that I turned the show off. I love the show, and when the team is in full force together, it helps my commute and weeks go by easier. My question was, I know." Okay, so now he gets into football. Okay.
We don't care about that. Let's skip over that.
"I know we have a lot of opportunities as a team to make that final push to get another Lombardi. However, putting aside our defense, I would like to input from everyone's opinion if the Pats would seriously consider making a move on Sidney Rice. I feel like he is the last piece in the puzzle to totally blow the doors off our already amazing offense. Typically, I know we don't like to spend major money on free agents. However, do you think Mr. Kraft and Belichick understand we have a window of maybe 2 to 3 years to win another Super Bowl before our Tom Terrific era is over? Will that play a factor in picking him up, possibly? I feel it's what we need to open up our other weapons and will make defensive coordinators go insane. Even if you don't read this on air, which most likely you will not." Well, I already proved you wrong there. "I'm still interested in your thoughts. Thanks again for keeping the flame burning and keeping all of us out here from going crazy." That's from Chris. Where's Chris from? Weathersfield, Connecticut. Okay. What do you think, Sidney Rice?
I love
Sidney Rice.
I would like that a lot. I think his price tag might be a little too high, though, for this team's.
But this is the year to do it, because I think you can.
It is the year to do it.
I think you can get free agents for less than you normally would.
Yeah, I agree.
This strange offseason.
Now, will the Vikings have a window to re-sign him?
Yes.
So, I mean,
probably.
Thanks for listening to the first hour of the show.
No, I know. I'm just saying that so that we can talk about it.
My question.
Here's where they get a little pissing match for the next 45.
My question is,
Paul has to be so literal, you know, just you can't just play along.
You just asked a question that you yourself addressed earlier in the show.
I know that, but
he wasn't listening to himself
Paul,
talk.
If
before,
you were the
Paul.
Radio man that you say you are, you know that people listen in 20-minute segments.
And you would have said, "Well, you will be able to re-sign your own free agents. There'll be a window to allow you to do that."
I'm letting you, as the football expert that I pay to be an expert.
Oh, now you pay me.
There's like fruit flies in here.
What?
Basil, did you shower?
I did.
Chris has a P.S. I think the guys should replace Eric with Lindsay. She would add a great dynamic to the show. So now Eric doesn't like you, Chris.
My question about Sidney Rice is, can you properly judge a wide receiver when he's got a running back like Adrian Peterson? I mean, how much grace do they give him because at any time they can just dump it to Peterson to take it for 60 yards to the house?
The guy still has to make the plays.
Right, I understand.
You know,
that.
Yeah. So I think he's. I mean, he's only had that 1 year.
Yeah.
No. He's been productive.
Oh, he's been Sidney Rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many good years has he had?
He's a free agent, so he's been around for at least four.
Yeah, I know, but how many good years has he had?
He's a good player. Am I calling him, you know, Jerry Rice? No, he's a good player. He's probably among the best two or three wide receivers available right now. He's a very, very good player.
Fred's trying to kill fruit flies.
I think I got it. Okay. So we're all on board for Sidney Rice, but...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, I'm on board for it.
Either, but...
James in Brisbane, hey guys, or at least those who cared enough to show up. Firstly, a Mike Vrabel memory. I remember the game against Washington in 07 where he had three sacks on Campbell.
Just for his career, Freddie?
Okay.
14.6 yards per catch, which is a pretty healthy average in today's dink and dunk NFL, and 18 touchdowns, which is also good. Now, last year, you know, he had the huge year in
09
with 83 catches for 1,312 yards.
Yep.
Last year, he was hurt, don't forget. He only played six games.
Right.
So he was limited to 17 for 280, but that's 14.6 yard average is a very good average.
And his average last year before he got hurt was 16.5. Better than his career average.
And I also would say that you mentioned the presence of Adrian Peterson, Basil, but he's also had, for most of that career, Tavares Jackson throwing him the football.
That's
right.
True.
How much better could he be with Tom Brady throwing him the ball?
Good point.
Good point.
Thanks, Fred. Means a lot coming from you.
I remember the game against Washington in 07 where Vrabel had three sacks and Campbell, the best of which was when he ran him down and forced a fumble. I have a question and a game for you today.
The
question
Love the is, games.
If under
Love
the Drake. If under the new CBA the Patriots are over the cap, who are your top three likely cap casualties across the roster? I've heard Crumpler mentioned, but that makes no sense to me because, as you guys have said before, he basically stopped Gronk and Hernandez from tearing the building down. Now, for the game. Okay, so I thought that was the game. We had a...
All right, so
potential cap
casualty if the Patriots somehow are in cap trouble, which they're not going to be.
Right.
I would say Ty Warren.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
If they re-sign Paige, Brandon Merriweather, but if not, no. I mean, it's nothing to worry about because they're not going to be in cap problems.
Yeah.
They don't have any cap problems.
Guyton?
Nah, you're not going to save any
Plays
money.
Too
there.
Much?
You're not going to save any money. There's a mega.
Vanacane?
Yeah, that's very good.
That's
very good.
Yes.
He's probably number one. He'd be number one.
He should be. Yeah, that's a good call.
All good call, Freddie.
Thanks, Paul.
Now
for
wanted to return the favor.
Problem is they don't have anybody else outside linebacker
I kind of thought we were mending fences here, so I wanted to return the favor.
Now for the game. If these Patriots never made it to the NFL, what do you think their careers would be based on? Their personality, intelligence, and work ethic, or at least what you know about them. Some are obvious, like G-Force being one of those guys who never leaves college because he loves partying too much. Anyway, the people are Brady, Wilfork, Welker, Jimmy Sanders, Mankins, Belichick, and Mayo. So what do you think their careers would be based on?
If it weren't for...
Football.
Yeah. I think Belichick would be some kind of, like, strategic analyst.
Yeah, he was an
economics guy.
Major at Wesleyan.
He might work for DOD, Department of Defense.
Brady would be maybe in baseball.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I think that maybe Brady would have gone into politics.
What about minor league baseball?
I know that's a cliche because everybody thinks he's going to do that, but I agree.
Okay.
Mankins would be right out in his ranch.
Yeah, he'd be on his – Wilfork would own a barbecue place.
Yes.
Ribs place.
Good.
Yeah, he likes to grill. Welker would be a male prostitute. Jimmy Sandoval.
Oh, no, I'm only kidding. Does he have things listed here as jokes?
No, no.
Oh, I thought that was yours. Oh, that was you?
I'm just saying it.
Oh, Welker, I could see being like –
I think that's – I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Now, this is – but this is assuming that he never had an NFL career.
Yeah.
See, that's tougher. I could see like Welker being one of those like greeters at a casino.
Yeah.
After his career, but you can't do
that
if you're not
famous. Have a career. Yeah.
I think you'd be a really like wisecracking guy at a video store. Except they don't have video stores anymore. They're all.
I was just going with the wisecracking guy.
Yeah. Jimmy Sanders would be Andy Hart's butler.
That's awful.
And Mayo
or Fluffer.
That's awful.
Oh.
Gerard Mayo would be a film review guy, like a Roger
How about
Ebert.
A high school football coach?
Well, he might,
Kraft and
yeah,
Mayo
go
together.
There you go. Okay. So we figured it out. And P.S. Eric, I found your artist site, and as tempting as it is to make a wisecrack, I'll just say that as someone who has no idea about art and slept through my art history class at university, some of the pictures were pretty decent.
At university.
Well, that means a lot coming from you, then. Thank you.
At university.
Well, he.
So he's obviously from the UK.
I mean, he's a potential.
I have no formal artistic training.
He's a potential, you know, customer. If someone like him thinks they're decent, then maybe you have
someone who has no interest in art, who fell asleep in his art history class, is a potential customer
at university.
Okay.
Maybe you have a decent future.
Let's see. Welcome back, Fred. Says Kamani. Glad to see the mastermind of PFW returning to his rightful throne. Well, thank you very much. But you should fear not the next time you travel away from your kingdom, because there are two people walking around that building that can fill your shoes. It's Andy, and Thursday's show was spectacular.
Whoa.
The flow between the two was flawless.
Yeah, but
I think you meant Andy and Lindsay.
Come on, he's a known simpleton, so that doesn't really mean anything.
There weren't those long, awkward pauses that you hear when Eric hosts the show. It was an incredible show. I love Andy and Lindsay.
The long pauses are because I ask penetrating questions that Andy doesn't have the answer to.
What are you, Charlie Rose?
Penetrating?
Oh, very well done, Basil.
Well played.
And this is a report from the field. Josh writes in that the app is now working on his BlackBerry.
Excellent.
So that has been solved, thank God. I know we've worked on that for a long time.
It's a pretty long thread on PFW
and Fred,
that
was
progress.
Big of you to read that email, because we've been trashing the Andy show from Thursday. Not the Lindsay show, the Andy show.
Right.
And it was big of you to read one that gave him some props.
But here's another
if
one.
If not, to just take it back and slap it out.
Sam in Chicago, on the other hand, says that Andy's show, again,
the
or
smarter person in Chicago who listens
glass.
To the show.
He says, I'll choose Ooh. Chewing glass.
Good, Sam.
Hello, guys, and a little boy named Andy who should never be left alone again.
Especially with a girl.
I was looking forward to catching up on last Thursday's show as I was finishing up my workday yesterday. Holy cow. Never, ever let Andy run the show alone again. I couldn't get through 20 minutes. I feel like I was listening to a nanny monitor that was turned on to an 8-year-old that just huffed some gas and was cacking to his babysitter. Andy would exclaim to Lindsay, I got you to say, take the tip, take the tip. Then he would run back through the house saying, pee pee caca, pee pee caca.
You should know I got a little wiener.
Andy's football commentary is one of the best in the business, but I would rather listen to Belo's fantasy football show backwards than be subjected to another romper room. How many times can I say boobs? So that's Sam's in Chicago's critique of
excellent job, Sam.
Andy's show.
Love the whole email except for that part about Andy's analysis being excellent. Oh, the best in the business.
Yeah, we could have done without that.
I was so wrong.
Garrett in Georgia says, Fred, I would just like to take this time and say I missed you. I really did. You make the show come together. Well, thank you very much.
Yet another unhappy Thursday listener.
Nick says that...
Are we getting emails to the contrary other than, you know, Simpleton Kamani's or...
No, but
no?
Nick,
good.
Nick doesn't think that Lindsay knows anything about football, so she
doesn't.
Wasn't any good.
Or anything else for that
Brent
matter.
From Illinois... Says, wow about Thursday's show. Lindsay seemed to have something to say, but Big Head and Kevin had a knack for cutting her off mid-comment and trying to get her to say certain words. Also, I think Andy might need to see someone about his lack of focus. He was jumping around to more topics faster than Larry King, asking odd questions after odd question. The thoughts must bound around in that huge head and just find his mouth by accident.
There's a lot of space up there. So
are you mental?
It's like a highlight court.
You know what's going on in there? There's a big game of dodgeball going on in his head, and the balls are just bouncing.
I went with highlight, but, you know.
Balls.
Finally, I don't think I've heard as many I was like and then he was like or it's like than I heard in that show. Thursday for a while. Wait one more
I was thought. Like, so it was like.
Maybe I was wrong. Kevin should just
that's
stay
a shot
behind
at
total
his
bobblehead.
All right, now, I got the email today that season tickets are being sent out. I guess that's a good sign. Also, do you guys work for the team or for KSP? If you work for KSP, could you have been talking to players and whatnot?
No.
No, KSP is the team. You know, it's all one happy family, so.
Well, I don't know about happy, but.
I'm very happy, Fred.
Dysfunctional.
I'm very happy, Fred.
Okay.
I think you're doing a fine job.
Let's see. Sean says, poor flirting attempt by Andy last week makes you wonder how he ever hooked up with his wife. I turned the show off after 10 minutes. So Sean only made it 10 minutes.
Are we forwarding all these to Andy so that he can see what people really think?
I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, not to him, because he likes to...
I did forward PJs to Andy.
Well, that's good. And he responded to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he said that was one person.
John is in hot as hell Phoenix. It is hot out there.
Did you go to the All-Star game?
The
Home Run Derby last night?
20 degrees or something like that? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know.
Record heat.
Got a pool over there at the Home Run Derby, though.
John says, I got to stick up for Andy on this one. I actually enjoyed the show with Lindsay and Big Hit. Andy being uncomfortable and insecure was hilarious, and Lindsay definitely held her own and was a refreshing point of view from the football aspect of everything. If you pay attention to his social insecurity, it's absolutely hilarious, almost a self-help show of what not to do if you're socially awkward or socially insecure. I'm not saying it should
so
be...
So even the positive ones are ripping them. Right. I like it.
I'm not saying it should be a regular occurrence, but it was a much-needed break from work, and I got a good laugh. On the downside, I'm sure he ruined Lindsay making more appearances, which is a shame.
No, Lindsay is welcome on the show anytime. She knows that. Lindsay and B-Lo.
Ah!
All right, easy. Just Lindsay.
There's a.
I don't want to revolt.
Kevin says that there's a poll on Facebook asking who is your favorite PFW writer. Paul is in the lead with 70% of the votes.
And I didn't even vote.
Fred is a distant second. Andy is third, and Eric has one vote.
Well, that's not fair.
You're not a writer. But I still got the second. So.
Well, Fred, in all seriousness, you should win that.
Why?
Because you're far and away the most popular presence on PFW and Progress.
But I'm not one of the
question
writers.
is about writing.
Yeah, I know, but it's all the same thing.
No, I think the...
Freddie's my favorite PFW, but I think you're doing a great job. I just want to reiterate
he's such
that.
A sucker.
It's not even April reviews.
I know.
Well, ever since you said that you're paying me, I wanted to make sure I got my feelings across.
Oh, Fred, you're paying us?
No? That's what he said.
Oh. I didn't realize that either. To check my direct
deposit next time.
If we had Mr. Kraft
down here,
time.
I would tell him what a fine job he's doing, too.
Let's see. Joel says, hello. One of the things he reminds us is that we left out Ted Johnson in our linebacker pool.
Yeah. I mentioned him really quickly when we brought up Roman Pfeiffer. I think those two guys were excellent players, Pfeiffer and Johnson. I don't think they quite make it up to the top three.
Ted was pretty one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
He did that one thing well, though.
Yes, he did.
So you extremely well.
Boy, that's why I
was a bigger part of those teams than he's given credit for.
Yeah.
You know, specifically that fourth down stop in Pittsburgh in the 04 AFC Championship game. Big, big play.
Yeah.
Big play in that game.
When he was right, you know, I remember in Bryan College, just, you know, they do those drills where, you know, the linebacker would have to take on the fullback or whoever was coming out of the backfield. Holy mackerel. It was like those goats in the mountains,
yeah.
You know. He really knew how to butt heads, and that's
unfortunately what led to what he has to deal with now.
I met him at Fenway, and he made me feel like a small person. Ted Johnson,
yeah, he's got a neck,
big guy,
that, yeah.
And a really nice guy,
gentle giant, real nice,
and
guy.
A huge fan of us. Remember?
Yep.
He used to always make time to talk nonsense with PFW.
Real, just a good guy
on the radio.
No.
The paper.
Just the locker room.
Really,
stuff?
At you know the time. Well, yeah, I suppose we were doing the radio when he used to do that too. But yeah, he enjoyed back and forth. He was close. He was tight with Freddie.
Where?
I don't know if we were tight.
Well, you know,
relationships go.
Yeah, you know.
I called him for something once and absolutely could not get him off the phone.
Came to the team, I found out that he was big into scuba diving. And I had a bunch of stuff from when I lived in the Caribbean, like patches and stickers, and so I gave them to him.
Usually when you talk to the players and you're trying to do an interview, especially if it's on their time, you're not in the locker room, you feel like you need to get your questions out lightning round, you know, bang, bang, bang. Oh, okay, I really appreciate you talking to me. Ted, nothing like that. I mean, literally, I talked to him for a while, and he had to call me back because he was getting to, like, his kid's soccer game or something, and he wanted to get the kids in the car, and then he called me back.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, you know, if you don't get a chance, don't worry about it. But he had more things to say.
And he was thoughtful. You know, he'd ask him a question, he'd be like,
I don't know, Paul.
You know, he'd really think about it, and the veins in his neck would pop up.
Oh, he's right.
Would they really?
Yeah.
Tim in Clovis, California. I must say Lindsay rocked. Andy didn't have a chance. She bitch slapped him, and Eric pretty much at will. Were you there?
No, she was. He saying she was bitch slapping me from afar.
Oh. Let's think about having her as a regular. It looks like the lockout is going to end soon. Who do you see the Pats looking at in free agency?
Not many people, honestly. There's not going to be enough time. They don't like to throw money around. Don't get your hopes up.
I think there'll be a lot of activity. I don't think
there'll
be
activity,
names.
But it's not going to be anything. It's not going to be like 2007 when they.
Well, that was the year, you know.
Right.
But
people want.
There's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of updating the roster almost daily.
Yeah, but after 06 when they had those Shoemaker wide receivers and they went to the AFC title game,
right.
People were saying. They've got all the horses. They just need to fix Brady's receiving core and add someone to the defense. They did all those things. They should have gone undefeated. This year has a lot of that feel to it. People are really excited about what happened last year. They think the pieces are basically there. Brady's window is starting to close a little bit, like somebody said before. And they feel like this is all the events are conspiring to have them have a major offseason push, and there's just not going to be enough time, and I just don't think they're going to do it again.
I think there's as much time for the Patriots as any other team, and I think
there is, but
you're going to see a flurry of activity from all teams, including the Patriots.
Well, you're going to have to see a flurry of activity,
a flurry of activity?
People coming in and out.
Like who, though?
I don't know.
Like Landon Cohen?
I can't.
No, but I'm not asking
like
you for a specific name. I'm not asking you to say they're gonna get Sidney Rice and Ray Edwards. And,
yeah, but just in general.
I'm saying, are they going to be bringing in guys like
A-level free agents,
like
B-level
like
free agents?
The last few years,
C-level?
We always bring in a ton of guys. Guys come and go during
right.
training camp,
right.
And there are always guys that happens the same way. Oh, who's that number 71 out there?
Right, no.
Oh, it's... Landon Cohen.
There will be those guys, but there's going to be a lot of B-level guys.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. No, I don't. No,
oh.
I agree.
Oh, okay.
I think that we always bring in those
I think
guys.
People want A-level guys because they think the roster is that good that they only need a few key pieces.
There's probably, 10 A-level guys available? I don't know. I mean,
are you kidding me?
More?
There's like 400 or 500 free agents that if it settles back to 4 years, this will be the best free agent crop ever.
Okay, I'm talking about who was a free agent after last year.
Yes, there's going to be about 400 or 500 people available.
If it goes back to four,
yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be one of the best and deepest free agent crops ever because of the oddity of having guys that were supposed to be free agents.
Okay.
It's basically 2 years of free agents available.
Then I'll say that you're going to see some A-listers in here.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think there's much chance of that.
Why?
Because I just don't think that's what we do.
We have done it.
We have done it in an offseason, a normal offseason, when they had time to prepare and do all their homework.
Why have the Patriots had any less time to prepare than any other?
I don't think it has
anything to do with that. I think it's our philosophy. But, I think in 11 years we've done that twice.
But we have brought in high-priced guys, whether
right,
through trade
not that often.
Or just a pure free agent signing.
Twice.
You know, it happens.
It does happen, but not very often.
And I'm talking free agents that you have to sign to long-term, multi-million dollar deals.
But aren't they also saying that this year's free agents may not get as much as they normally would?
Because I agree with that.
I agree with that, too. But
so if you're a value-conscious
team, whatever it is,
this is the team to make that deal.
But I think
that
whatever
deal.
It is, the Patriots will not be at the high end of that.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's why.
But
I
if you're saying
it's
that
not,
there's
it's
so
not
many
insult.
Free agents that are available,
there
they
are.
Don't need to be at the high end of that to get some value.
Well, I think you need
value.
To outbid the other teams.
For some of these guys, yeah.
Well, that's the A-list guys. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. You can go in and you can get a, you know, a B-lister, like you said, you know, like a Matt Roth. You could go. I think the Patriots will be interested in guys like that. And I think they will. I agree with you. I think they'll bring in a lot of those guys. You know, a lot in relative terms. Three, four, five guys. I think you will see that. I think that there's a good chance that you'll get a wide, you know, a Malcolm Floyd type wide receiver. It's not going to break the bank like Sidney Rice probably will.
I would take that though.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's not, I don't think it's a bad philosophy. I don't think they're wrong for doing it.
Well, here's
I don't think they need
okay,
to do that.
Here's
they're 14
our assignment.
And 2.
Here's our assignment for Thursday. Let's break up the guys, you know, that will or could be free agents into lists A, B, and C. And who are our A-listers, who are our B-listers, so that we can come to the table with, you know, some real names.
All right.
And let's do that.
Ray Edwards is a guy that gets a lot of attention to me. He doesn't excite me in the list.
Okay.
Neither.
So you'd put him in your B-list.
But he's going to get A-list money.
Okay, but that's, you know, let's...
In our list.
I'm just talking about talent. Talent. A-list talent, B-list talent, C-list talent.
We did that every week throughout the offseason.
Okay,
on the roster,
we're going to do it for Thursday.
No, on the Roster Report podcast,
I get pushback on everything.
No, because you know why?
This is the guy that was just telling you what a great job you're doing,
because
by the way.
There's a lot of things that we do that you ignore.
Okay.
Much like when early in the show you said, there's going to be a window to re-sign your own free agents. 25 minutes later you said, is there going to be a window to re-sign your free agents?
Okay.
Eric spearheads a Friday Roster Report podcast. This is before the summer of Andy began. And Andy used to take part of it, where we went over every position because we had no roster moves to talk
for
about.
For Thursday, we're going to do that.
And we said, okay, we'll do it again, I guess. All right. Great.
People want we get a lot of emails about, you know, who would they sign. So
but that's not what you want us to do. You want us to grade the free agents.
I want to come to the table and say, okay, if the Patriots were – here's the pool of A-list guys that the Patriots are looking at.
We can do that?
I don't mean that they're – I said that if they're looking at the list. I don't
I
mean
resign.
Coming in for tryouts. I mean, they're looking at a list of A-list guys, and these are them. These are the people that are available.
Right. We'll do that again. Sure.
Yes. I know. You just can't – you can't let it go.
Because you don't pay attention to the things that
guys,
we
have 45 minutes left in the show. Let's not argue the rest of the
time. Because we do some of these things and you don't pay attention.
A lot of people might listen to the roster report. But they may not. So why can't we do it on this show?
We can do anything you want, Fred. You're the boss.
Thank you. My God.
But we'll do it again.
Let's see.
We can keep talking about the guys, and you can keep pretending that we never said them before.
No, we keep who's the best guys over
who's the best pass rusher available? Just curious if you ever listened to us.
I don't know. I have no idea.
You ever hear of Tom Holley?
Tom Holley, yeah.
I heard of him from Kansas City.
Okay, you never heard that on this show.
We have mentioned it. And
on this show,
and
have you heard us talk about him?
And we've mentioned that the Patriots would have no chance again. So
Andy's not here. A
lot of emails.
Someone's got to get you read.
A lot of emails.
To make Fred's point, I don't listen to the roster update. I only listen to...
I'm talking
to,
about this show.
Why don't we listen to this show?
One of our people who actually is a fan, who listens.
And a paying subscriber.
Thank you, Basil.
So why don't you listen to the podcast? I only listen to PFW Progress.
There's only so much time in the
day. And I would love to be able to craft some sort of list of free agents that the Patriots are interested in. I would love to be
able to
do that.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I would love to
I'm
be able to do that.
I'm not talking about
if
making
that,
a list
I
of
could
who
probably make some
the
money
Patriots
off of
are interested in. I'm talking about making a list of who is available by talent level. Period.
As I said... We can do that.
Well, historically, Belichick likes to trade his draft picks and not sign free agents. Isn't that true?
Historically, yes.
I don't know. I think they haven't always gone out and signed the big guys, but they have at times. I think they're as active in signing players as any other team.
Signing players,
yes.
But signing talent is different than just signing Jags.
Right. That's why I'm saying you're asking for two different things.
You're talking about a handful of teams that are more active in signing the big-name players than the Patriots. Not a lot of – more teams are like the Patriots than the Washington Redskins.
I would say the good teams are like the Patriots. Jets. I agree with you on that. The good teams, for the most part, are like the Patriots.
Well, but I would make it
Indianapolis,
I would say
Philadelphia,
the Jets,
Pittsburgh.
But I would say the Jets are not like the Patriots, but they are good. You know, I'd say the Jets are
example. They would be an outlier. The Jets do sign big name guys, and they're good.
And they're good.
I would say most teams are like the Patriots. Most good teams.
Yeah.
Indy, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do things the way the Patriots do. I think that's the way to go.
The Jets signed former Patriots.
They
like to. Or,
I mean, the Jets have gone after, you know, Antonio Cromartie, Santonio Holmes. I mean, big, you know, big time guys. They've signed LaDainian Tomlinson when everybody thought he was done.
Bart Scott.
Bart Scott was a big time free agent for them.
They made trades up high in the draft.
That they did at midnight.
Jenkins.
You know, they've done a lot of that stuff, and it's worked for them. They're good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most teams that do it like that.
Don't
are like
up,
Washington.
Yeah, right.
They fail.
Right.
I meant like you know, O'Connell and Woody and.
Well, Woody, they didn't sign.
No,
Woody
no,
from
I'm
the
just
Patriots.
Saying. I'm saying they like to.
That's
Matt,
another big name
Matt
free agent
Chatham
they signed.
And,
Woody's got Larry Izzo. Woody's closer to Kevin Bacon than he is the Patriots at this point.
Oh, jeez. That was actually pretty good.
That was a good one.
I did. Kevin wasn't listening, so he couldn't play the rim shot.
The
foot loose. Okay.
He's mad that he's
lining the phone calls.
Criticism.
We got phone calls for
him? Well, we do.
That's what I was doing. I was answering.
But I just want to read this one email. TG and NJ writes in, "Thank God Jake Steele is back. This has been the worst offseason for PFW ever, last week being the culmination of ineptitude. Please, Fred, we need football to be back or PFW is doomed."
Hey, man. Fred, you and I were on the show last week.
I know.
Wait a minute.
Replace the ass behind the glass, in Squidward's vernacular, with the intern. Keep Andy off Tuesday's show for good, so we only have to deal with him once a week. Stop celebrating Squiddy. You need to be dropped down to one day a week yourself. Your Prince of Pomposity shtick needs to be curtailed. Ban B-Lo and Triple Y. She's got a potty mouth, and he's got a mouth. Listeners in studio visits are okay. Where's the most interesting PFW listener, Ben? Paulie and Fred are the new A-team. See what's happening, Fred. This lockout has us at each other's throats. We need football back now.
Screw you, bitch.
That was well placed, Kevin.
We're at each other's throats.
That's okay. They like it when we're at each other's throats. It's hot in here.
It is.
It is.
What the hell's going on?
Well, there's more people in the studio than usual.
You know what? It's because of Manchester United.
Be careful.
Oh, they're in the house
right
too this
that
week.
Door.
That's right.
What?
Just be careful. There's a camera right behind that door.
No, I know.
Is there?
Yeah.
It's because we're keeping the fire burning.
I thought you meant behind the.
I'm opening the door and letting some air in.
It is one of the more ridiculously humid days of the summer too.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's not helping.
Said it's equally as hot back here, so that might not help. What are you looking
at? Oh, Fred.
Jeez, Fred.
What?
Nothing.
Never mind.
Juan in Texas.
I like the way you're playing with your voice today. What?
Juan in Texas. Fred.
Juan.
I was going to go to the phone.
Yeah, go to the phone.
Oh, go to the phone.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with the TIAN writes in. Calls in.
Jeez.
I'm hot.
Yeah, thank God you're back, Fred.
Christian, how you doing?
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm calling it. I'm not writing it. The heat's getting to you over there, huh?
That's okay.
Good.
Listen, Maron, thank God you guys are back. Last Thursday was like walking on eggshells. I was just waiting for him to say something really stupid.
Oh,
he did that for 2 hours.
Actually,
didn't he?
That might be good because it would put us all out of our misery if we had to can him because of something stupid he said.
Cool. It was tough. It was tough. He was just trying to
get another satisfied customer.
Yep.
Yeah. And Eric, what did you do to Lindsay?
God only knows
what he'd want to do.
Well, I know what you want to do. But what she was, her and obviously Andy, but she was just, they were.
Yeah,
on you
I know.
Time.
There's some tension between the two of us that's
really?
Unresolved.
You and her?
It's you're watching it and you're like, wow.
Evidently, an ex sexual.
But
something happened here? Is this HR related?
No.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, girl.
Well,
she has an unnatural obsession with me.
I hope this is done soon. I mean, if I read one more article on profootballtalk.com, I think I'm going to jump out my window. I just want there to be football like everybody else, and I hope they come to a deal. As far as the 18 games go, I don't think it's a good idea because I think you will lose the quality and some of the meaning of the regular season. And,
yeah, totally agree.
You know, I mean, you look at games now, and it's like weeks 15 and 16 when teams are 12-2 and they got stuff wrapped up, you know,
yep.
I.e. Indy, you know, like they've done in the past. They rest guys, and the games are sort of meaningless.
Yeah, and most teams, Christian, are most good playoff teams
are hanging by a thread at that point, injury-wise, as it is.
Yep.
You add two more games to that, and like we were saying earlier, the quality of the playoff football is going to deteriorate, and I don't think you want to see that.
No. I don't. Absolutely not. No, I mean, I love football, don't get me wrong, and I can't wait for it to start, and through the fall and the winter and everything, but if you're going to start doing that and guys are going to start getting hurt, then, obviously you got to generate revenue and all that. We all know why they want more games and the Thursday night package and all that stuff, but you got to look at the quality of product you're putting on the field, and I think it'll suffer.
Okay.
The formula for the 16-game season, I like. I like how they have it set up, how they make the schedule, how you're going to play. If they add two more games, how are you going to do it? An extra AFC and an extra NFC team?
They'll figure something out.
The way they have it now is perfect. Do we agree?
I like the way they have it now. I have no issues with the current format. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them take away one preseason game, but not add it to the regular season.
I'm just talking about the regular 16 season. I like how you have the NFC.
It's neat and organized, right? Yeah. There are four teams in every division.
I mean, the idea of what
the schedule is balanced.
Yeah,
yes,
the idea of having a balanced schedule, I think, was always to give those teams that weren't good a shot the next year. But that hasn't always worked out, whether it's the draft or this balanced schedule hasn't always helped the bad teams, compete. It always seems like it's, the same.
No, free agency is meant to help those teams compete.
Also that. But so what I'm saying is I'd rather maybe not have a balanced schedule. Maybe make each, you know how they're trying to make a show around the season schedule announcement.
Well, yeah, they
have
been doing
that. Wouldn't it be even a better show if you didn't know who your opponents were going into the next season? And other than your AFC, like for the Patriots, other than your AFCs, everything was totally random. I think that would be really cool because then the announcement of the schedule really is a big deal because you have no idea who you're playing. Maybe you could say you have to play X amount of players in the AFC so there can be a true, but other than that, it could be anybody.
I actually like this rotation.
You like the rotation.
I love the rotation.
Because I think that it forces you to play everybody within a period of time.
Yeah.
You don't have those long gaps where
you go 20 years
certain
between,
NFC teams you don't play.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
But then on the other hand, you end up playing the Colts every year.
What's wrong with that?
Well
as long people as want that. Good, as long as they're good, they're good. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's my favorite game of the year.
I just kind of like
Colts and the Jets games.
I don't know. I like the idea of randomness in this, and not knowing 4 years from now who my opponent is.
I like the stability better.
You do. You like the stability.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Christian's off the line. 508-298-0398 is
he went to jump out his window.
A-stick hotline. I don't remember dropping him. Kevin, are you dropping?
No, I think he dropped us.
He hung up.
That was the noise that we heard.
All right, thanks, Christian.
He got tired of you.
Next up,
he was wondering what the free agents were.
Next up for the home run derby is Brad from Maryland. Hey, Brad.
Hey, welcome back, Fred.
Thanks.
Quite a show on Thursday, gentlemen.
Good or bad?
Lindsay held her own.
She's doing a lot of holding of herself.
The Andy killing the show. I actually had to call in and ask Kevin whether he was purposely trying to kill the show.
Let me guess. He said that he was.
Well, he kind of defended it, and then about 5 minutes later, he actually admitted that he was trying to kill the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just such BS.
That's just poor to me.
It really is.
Speaking of which, he was in town yesterday. Did you see that, Freddie?
Yes.
Surprised you didn't go and say hello. Plus, I would have had I known about it.
Anyway.
He's doing a camp with
McCourty. Sorry, Brad.
Anyway, Paul. Eric saying he and Lindsay have unresolved conflict.
Tension.
It's
tension.
Like Pharaoh saying he has unresolved conflict with Moses, or Johnny Reb saying he has unresolved conflict with damn Yankees. So there's obviously some major things going on between Eric and Lindsay.
No. There's not.
Ew.
There's not.
I want to take exception to saying that Brady's window is closing or beginning to close.
Okay.
I don't see
an emailer said that.
Yeah. What?
An emailer said that.
No, but you guys got.
I didn't say.
Kind of passed over it. I'm just saying. I don't see, and I've never seen this in a good quarterback. As long as you can give him tools, and keep him upright. I mean, look at Dan Marino. Dan Marino played forever and torched the Patriots forever until the day he quit. And I think Brady can be that same type of quarterback.
This seat.
And I think that that's where the whole talk of the offseason has revolved around this. Do we go out and sign Sidney Rice or Malcolm Floyd? Do we make the big stab? And you guys keep saying, well, Belichick doesn't do that. But he has done it.
Very infrequently.
It doesn't matter. All teams do it infrequently.
I disagree
Not
with
every
that.
Team signs big free agents every year. They don't do it.
In my opinion, the Patriots have signed two big money free agents in 11 years.
But
Dallas
signed,
Thomas
but
and
Bill
Roosevelt Cole. Roosevelt
them at the positions one that of them he needed down. To top off a team. And I think that's where sort the Patriots of. Are yeah. this year. I think the Patriots this year are exactly like they were in 2006.
That's where, the point I made earlier.
Right, where all we need is give Brady one more reliable tool and let him go.
Yeah, see, I know what you're saying, but I don't totally agree with that. I still think that they need to bring in depth. I think
we have better tight ends than we did in 06.
Yes.
I think we agreed. Have a better supporting cast at wide receiver already than we did in 06.
I'm not sure about, well, okay.
In 06?
When you started, yeah.
Wait a minute, 06. In 06?
Yeah.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. But
and
not,
then
yeah.
We have Woodhead and or Falk. We'll even just for the sake of argument, put them in the same category.
I'm not sure about Falk.
No, I said, just for sake of argument, whichever one you're going to plug in there, are dynamic third down, long down situational running backs.
Not as good as Falk in 06, but okay.
No, but fair. Woody held his own.
He was fine.
And
considering the circumstances, he was outstanding.
If you bring in another field stretcher, which is exactly what the Patriots needed at the beginning of 07, was a field stretcher. What do we need right now? A field stretcher. Welker's going to catch 9 out of 10 balls thrown his way. That's a given. Gronk and Hernandez, I would say 8 out of 10. All you need is that guy to go deep. And I think we're going to be unbeatable again.
Well, I also think we have to worry about the offensive line. I mean, Solder might come in and play really well,
yeah,
but I don't know.
I agree with you, Fred. There's a lot of ifs in all that, you know, with Brady. If you can give him the weapons and if you can keep him upright and if, I mean, yeah, sure.
This
I mean,
sounds like the beginning of last year and lot of those ifs panned out.
Just to use the, you know, Brad's thing, Dan Marino from the ages, you know, when he hit 35, never completed 60% of his passes in a season again after doing so fairly regularly prior to that.
But they never
35,
reloaded.
36, 37, 38, he completed 59, 58, 57, 53.
But they
percent
never
of his
reloaded
passes.
Their wide receiver.
Never threw for more than 3,700 yards. That was the most. And had the most touchdowns he threw was 23. And he had, culminating with his last year when he was clearly all done, 12 touchdowns, 17 picks. So Dan Marino didn't continue to light it up.
But no,
as he
Dan
got
Marino
to his mid to late 30s.
To light it up because they never reloaded the wide receivers after the Marx brothers.
Now my memory, the Marx brothers played in the early 80s. I mean, he continued to play without the Marx brothers in 93, you know, I'm sorry, 94, 62%, 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. 95, 65%, 24 touchdowns. The Marx brothers weren't part of those teams. In 94, 95. This
but
is after he ruptured his Achilles.
Who did they give him at the end of his career?
O.J. McDuffie? Aronde Gadsden?
I wouldn't
Tony Martin?
Those.
Not great receivers. He was putting
say,
up those kinds of numbers.
But I wouldn't consider those the Randy Mosses and Sidney Rices.
Now, my memory is not as good as Paul's.
Listen, if we get a great player at every position, they'll be good.
Now, what I just want to ask this question. My memory is not as good as Paul's. But last year, when you talk about a field stretcher, somebody like Randy Moss, what did the Patriots do after we got rid of Moss? I don't remember. We did okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Until a team
until they got exposed in the playoffs.
But 11 guys,
you know, and that's my argument. But you know, but what Paul will tell me is that's one team that could do that. Not most teams could do what the Jets
I think
did.
That they,
and I'll agree with that.
Well,
but,
the Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers did it too very well
that,
with a backup
the more
quarterback.
Teams are going to be able to do
See,
it.
See, I'm going to be a little hypocritical here. I think that they absolutely need a guy, like Brad says, to improve the wide receiver core and stretch the field.
Yep.
However, I don't think that it's anywhere near as pressing a need as most Patriots fans do. I mean, everybody says, you got to go out and get Sidney Rice. You got to go out and get Larry Fitzgerald, you got to make a trade for him. Yeah, that would make your offense unbelievably insane. I don't think you can be any
that much better than you were last year.
But offensively, when you get better to the playoffs, right. And I mean, most of the teams in the playoffs have good defenses, are you putting yourself at a disadvantage because you're getting by without that?
Yeah, and it's also operating under the premise that the Jets couldn't shut down that offense with Moss.
Right.
Which they did. So,
but then you factor in what was Moss at that point. And,
no,
you know.
But I'm saying they did when Moss was great, too. They shut Moss down when he was still great.
Yeah.
It wasn't just last year.
Even despite the best catch I've ever seen.
Week two, are we going to forget the
yeah, I will, because it was one play.
One-handed
I will
catch.
Forget it, because in the second, they scored 14 points, and even with a ridiculous one-handed catch, they shut him down. They did.
Yeah. Cromartie shut him down.
I mean, if it was
without Darrell Revis, by the way, good point.
If it
Basil.
Was the reverse and it was the Patriots doing that to a Jets receiver, and that's all he had was that one catch, you go, you know, except for that catch,
and you
the
know
Patriots
what?
Shut him down.
And you know what? Sometimes great players do great things.
Right.
And
right.
Moss was certainly a great player. He did that a couple of weeks later with Minnesota.
The Jets.
He caught one pass against the Monday night game.
Except for the first quarter, the Jets shut the Patriots down in that game.
Yeah. You know, and I agree with Brad. I think that the offense could use, a better wide receiver. They're scoring in the neighborhood of 500 points. This is a great offense. They need to improve on defense. Now, maybe you can make the argument like Fred does. You have all these young guys, you know, the McCourties and the Patrick Chungs and the Brandon Spikes and Gerard Mayos. Maybe you have the pieces in place and you're just going to be better just by natural progression. And you can have a good defense. I would still like to see someone come in and be able to put some heat on the passer. Yeah.
If you had
even
to
though
bring
that's
in,
cliche,
if you had to bring
I
in
like
a
that.
Stud and it could be offense or defense, I'd still choose defense.
Yeah,
I'd still choose defense.
You know, it's funny too. They had a thing on ESPN today or yesterday.
Thanks for
about
the call, Brad.
They had a future team, a future dream team they were trying to create. Did you see this, Freddie?
No.
ESPN is putting together
a list,
you know, a list kind of projecting, not a list. It's they're trying to ask for people to formulate. You go in and vote. And they have every position, they have a list of guys. Your future dream teams, 2014 to 2016. So 3 years from now, for a 3 year period, the players you think will be the best in the league at each position. Offensively, the Patriots had one player on the ballot. Now they had like 16 tackles, 16 guards, 8 centers, 8 tight ends, 16 wide receivers, 16 running backs, and, you know, whatever many, 16 quarterbacks or 8 quarterbacks, whatever. They had one player on offense that made the list. So obviously Tom Brady's not making that
Who
list.
Who was that, by the way?
He's, you know, 36 or 37, you know, by that time. They're not,
right.
One player on offense. Guess who it was?
Was it all positions or just skill positions?
All positions.
Hernandez.
You see what I mean, how he doesn't listen to me? I just said 16 tackles, 16 guards,
I'd say Gronk.
And 8 centers.
Gronkowski.
Gronk did not make the list of
Mayo.
Tight ends. And an absolute atrocity. Again, I'm going to say,
offense.
For those of you who
offense.
Don't listen to me, one player on offense.
Jim Colclaw.
Dan Copen.
Oh, boy.
Was the only one listed.
What?
And this is a ballot that the so-called experts at ESPN put together.
How many Steelers?
No Rob Gronkowski. No Logan Mankins.
Right.
No Sebastian Vollmer.
No Hernandez.
I mean, you don't think Sebastian Vollmer will be one of the best tackles in football 3 years from now?
We hope.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of rookies. Obviously, they didn't think Nate Solder was going to be one of them.
Yeah.
So, very strange. But here's what I thought the ironic part was. We all think the offense is great and the defense is improving. Needs to improve, but improving, right? Defense, they had 5 guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, I'm sorry, 4 guys.
Well, I was just going to say, the sad thing about that, all these guys that we're talking about, Vollmer, and we're not talking about skill position guys, you know?
No, and you can understand, like I said, Brady wouldn't be there, and they really don't have a running back that you think. I mean,
right, but who are
there'd
the
be quite a stretch
my,
to
my
say
point is,
Vereen
who are the young
or
guys on the skill positions
well,
that
me,
we're looking forward to?
To me, Gronkowski,
well, Gronkowski and Hernandez.
One of those two has to be on that
I'll
list.
I'll give you that.
Jermaine
Absolutely.
Gresham is one of the tight ends that they listed.
Yeah,
Gronk had a better year than Gresham. And Gresham, I think, is terrific.
Yeah.
I'm not bashing him.
Yeah.
I think Gronk should have been there with Gresham.
Hernandez almost had a better year, didn't he?
But to me, those two guys, one of those at least has to be among your 8 tight ends of the future.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, that to me, and that's a skill position guy.
Yep.
Now, okay, so you didn't see Brandon Tate or Taylor Price factoring into that, and you thought Welker and Branch would be past their primes? Okay, that's understandable. Rob Gronkowski or
that's unacceptable.
Aaron Hernandez, perhaps both of them, but at least one of them has to be on that list to me.
I would feel a lot better about Gronk if he didn't keep showing up on these websites.
I think he's hanging
naked
with Brad Marchand.
Yeah. I think he just won the Stanley Cup, Gronkowski.
I can't remember the last time I saw Gronk with a shirt on.
I'm glad he's having a fun offseason, but I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah. No, I mean, but defensively they had Will Fork, which I actually think is a mistake, because 3 years from now, I'm wondering.
Right.
And they even admitted, the oldest player that they have listed. But Will Fork,
Mayo,
McCourty, and Merriweather.
Merriweather gets on all these lists.
Yeah. Oh. But, you know, there is a little bit of a caveat. They broke safeties up into free and strong, so there were more guys.
Okay. All right.
Still.
This is in from Big
same.
Head, who actually is contributing to the show. And if it's true, it's a pretty good contribution. And he's. I don't think he would steer us down the wrong path here.
This is Andy? Is that what you said?
Andy's emailing in. He says, tuna on Nantucket. FYI, my moles tell me Parcells and Pioli were together on Nantucket yesterday. I wonder if they're hanging out with Belichick, too. And no lie, moles asked me why Pioli walks around sticking his chest out. Can't make this stuff up. So Parcells and Pioli on Nantucket.
Well, they are family, you know.
That's true.
It didn't occur to you?
Well, I know that Parcells is the father-in-law.
Pioli. Right.
Yeah. So. But it is a legitimate question to wonder, as Big Head did, if they're with Bill.
If they're on Nantucket.
The real Bill.
He owns the whole island.
The real
right?
Bill.
Belichick?
Oh, and Brandon Tate was among the kick returners, and Belichick was among the coaches for the dream team.
Okay.
7 Patriots altogether, but really only 5 positional players, which I thought was low.
How many Steelers? Because ESPN.
I didn't count all the other teams. I just thought, being my wisecracky self, Andy found this yesterday and, of course, passed it on to me because why should he do the work?
Yeah.
I put it up on the blog before the show, and I just thought it was odd that it's this young team. We had all these young guys play last year. They went 14-2, and I know they did win the Super Bowl and they got knocked out in the first round, but a young team that goes 14-2 didn't have more than one guy who warranted a spot on the offensive dream team of the future.
It's ridiculous. I know that ESPN
that
has
a little
love
odd.
Affair with the Steelers, and I just don't understand it.
Well, the Steelers have great players. Unlike ESPN, I don't hold the other team's players against them. You know, and just to be clear, they didn't list Peyton. You know, Peyton Manning wasn't on the quarterbacks list either. You know, there was one tight end that really kind of stuck out to me was Jason Witten from Dallas. I don't see Jason Witten being one of the best tight ends three years from now.
Right.
I just don't see that.
I wasn't listening. Was Bradford on the list?
Yes.
Okay. You did say that?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
That's why I didn't give a snarky comment.
John in South Carolina says, to say that Andy and 3Y Show was the worst show is not right. To be honest, I found Lindsay superior to both B-Lo and No Socks, and Andy is Andy. We all know what he would be like. We should not be surprised. My problem with it, though, is this is different. He was, we were gone. The show was left in his hands. And, yeah, I know Andy is Andy, but you still have to kind of keep the show going. You have to have some, maturity, because now you're handling the show. You have to step up.
You're asking
up.
Him to have maturity. I'm pointing at Basil's chair because that's
but
where Andy usually
sits. But
you have
to step up sometimes.
You're asking him to have maturity.
Your role as, the crazy, immature,
the crazy
sidekick.
The crazy uncle.
You have to put that a little bit back and sort of keep the show going. And he couldn't do that.
Wow, Fred, you're really upset about
anyway,
this. Huh?
So I would still take Andy and Lindsay over B-Lo and No Socks any day. That being said, two things boggle my mind. One, Lindsay said Woodhead is better than Bush at running back. And two, Andy heard Woodhead and Bush in the same sentence and did spend the next 20 minutes on the floor laughing.
Yes. That's the kind of analysis that you guys think makes him the best football analyst out there.
Matt from Oregon.
I was informed of that, of the Woodhead is better than Reggie Bush comment, and I have to agree, Lindsay. That one might be
okay.
We don't have to be over the top homers on everything. If Reggie Bush got the ball in space that Danny Woodhead got last year,
right?
Oh my God!
Yeah, forget it. Matt from Oregon wants to stick up for Andy and also take shots at other people. I'd like to make a request, if I may. Can part of Kevin's job be to listen to the show and drop in a little funny soundbite that go along with the conversation. I know it's very important for him to follow the Facebook page as closely as humanly possible, but I think this would add to the show's entertainment value. The occasional mistimed rim shot just isn't cutting it. In fairness, I'm actually several shows behind in the podcast, was traveling for a couple weeks, so maybe he's made a dramatic change.
He hasn't.
He's now a drop-in ninja like Gary and Doc used to be, but I doubt it. As usual, the rest of you guys, including Eric, are bringing it every show, and I thank you for that. Actually, he wasn't standing up for Andy. I'll take that back. He was just beating on Kevin.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
Kyle from Berlin, Mass, wants to give a shout-out to his brother, who is sitting in the booth with you guys at the moment. He is the goofy kid not wearing any Patriots gear.
Rondo?
That would be Pat.
That is me.
So, Pat, your brother is Kyle?
Yep.
Okay.
Kyle.
And now, is he older or younger than you?
He just turned 21.
So he's older?
Yes.
Okay. So it's okay for him to call you goofy?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd get a shot in the head when he got home, right?
Well, it's usually we're head-to-head at home. So
you fight him anyway?
Yeah. It's
okay.
We're brothers.
You don't need an excuse.
No. We're brothers. It's always going to happen.
Sure. Paul will tell you all about that, right?
Sure.
Paul's still in a fight that he started when he was 6 years old with Rich.
Absolutely.
What, did you steal his candy or something?
No.
They don't even remember what it was about.
No, they just fight.
They just like to keep it going.
My brother and I are the typical absolute best friend brothers that could argue about anything, but we're best friends.
Right.
That's
especially Northeastern basketball
anything.
Or hockey.
Oh, anything. Doesn't matter what the topic is.
Thank God the heavyweights are back, says Scott. How much of
all right, is that
speak
a shot?
For yourself?
Yeah. How much of creepy Andy can one fan base take? I'm guessing the real reason he's not here today is because he was carted off after the show by the authorities. I felt embarrassed to listen to the little big head take over for the massive cranium on Thursday.
The battle of
with
little
the
big
worst
head?
Innuendos ever created. Good thing the new girl can take a punch, unlike Eric. I'm sure the ick when referring to Eric that came from Lindsay was taken completely out of context, but I can hear it one more time to make sure. Do we have that? No,
they're not listening. No.
Do you gentlemen know how I could send Marcus Cannon a quick note of encouragement, maybe an address directly or an email address? Thanks as always, and let's hope Andy can make bail. I think if you send it to the Patriots PR here at One Patriot Place, Foxborough, they will definitely forward it over to Marcus Cannon. They're very good about that.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of the best PR departments when it comes to things like that.
Comes to things like that.
Well, other PR departments are good at other things.
I know.
Some of them are beyond our control. We can't control those
things. All right, Fred.
WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul is gone for his Flomax moment.
Yep, it's that time of the show.
James in Pittsburgh's on the line. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, I'm not going to jump on the Lindsay bandwagon like everyone else. I do like Lindsay, and I'm on her Facebook, so I don't want to get kicked off. I think she's a very nice girl. But
make sure you put book in there.
Yeah. The dynamic of her and Andy was just so off. It sort of reminded me of like when you have like a reunion with a middle school friend that you had 30 years ago, but now you're married and kids and you hang out and you realize he hasn't grown up. He tried so hard to be sort of flirtatious with Lindsay, and Lindsay's really, in my view, more of a stats-type person, someone that has the numbers, and that's why I think that her and B-Lo actually had a better show months ago than Andy and her.
Okay.
And the other thing is, next time you guys come to Pittsburgh, please, I'd love to take you guys out to lunch or dinner, because I heard the comments about the places that she recommended, like Promani Brothers.
Yeah, terrible.
Now, I live in Pittsburgh. I've only been here for 2.5 years, but I went to college here. My wife's from here. The food is actually some of the worst food I've ever eaten in my life, and I've lived all over the world. And I also lived in New England, so I know what New England taste buds are like. I lived in Texas. I know what that taste buds are like. Somehow they have some magical system of sucking out all the flavor of any food they make out here. So I would give up on Permane Brothers, and I would not. And, I mean, even on my websites, I if people recommend food, I just delete it because if they're from Pittsburgh, it's a joke.
The key there is that the taste of the food cannot overpower Rolling Rock or Iron City beer. That's like the rule. You can't have any food that will overpower those two beers' flavor.
Well, even it, I mean, it's just that the flavor, like, okay, the high idea of the Primanti brothers is they put the fries, the slaw, everything on the sandwich. And
it's
if you're not into, you know, slaw is like particularly a very, you know, it's an individual thing. Like, you either like a restaurant's coleslaw or you don't.
And theirs is a little different.
Right, exactly. So it's you want to kind of stay coleslaw away from those sandwiches that just kind of pile it on. It's more novelty.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I moved here, my wife had a reunion with her high school friends, a 20-year reunion, and we had it for Manny Brothers. And not one person in the entire restaurant had ever eaten at Permani Brothers, even though they've all grown up here for the last 20-something years.
Yeah.
And the food was horrendous. Not one person liked it, so we never came back. So, I mean, there's places that are near Heinz across the Clemente Bridge. There's a pizza place that's okay. It's passable, but the food is pretty bad. And when I got married here 10 years ago, my wedding party came from all over the world because I was a professional opera singer then. And I told everyone that the place that my wife is recommending for our dinner rehearsal was going to be really, really bland. And they were like, oh, you're exaggerating. It can't be that bad. After we ate there, I took them all out to go eat because it was just so bad. They couldn't believe how bad it is. So,
all right.
Anytime they say something about Pittsburgh food, please just ask me and I'll give you some recommendations. But as far as the locals, just stay away from that. And as far as Lindsay, I love her. But I think she needs to be more with B Low. That's better intelligent level. And your show is more personality based, and you know it's the dynamics between the three and four of you guys. And Kevin, not good.
No,
I just thought he needed to stay in the booth. He really tried hard to be
a
wingman.
He needs to stay out of the booth.
Yeah. It was really embarrassing.
Now, James, can you give me a couple lines of Figaro before we go?
A Figaro? I'm not actually a baritone, I'm a tenor.
Okay, give me
but
something.
But I can do Vincenzo.
All right, thank you, James.
Bibbidi bobbidi.
Wow.
Wow.
I just have to say again, we are we get everything. Name the vocation
little
that someone hasn't come in.
Yeah, I know, right? That's Kevin.
Jumbo Hart is tweeting. He says, I ran and hit the pool this morning after kids nap. It will be more pool time before visiting some friends for dinner.
Okay, now he's turned into that person that I didn't want him to turn into.
Thank you, Eric.
Stop following him.
I'm supposed to.
You don't have to follow him.
No, but I need...
We kind of have to.
We have to know what our colleagues are saying.
You should know that he's not saying
but
anything.
But why does
he think
anyone cares about what he's doing?
Because he's fallen into that stupid Twitter trap.
Yep.
He's fallen into it, and I told him it was going to happen. I warned him, and he refused. Now he's one of those people.
The critiques keep coming in.
One of those self-aggrandizing narcissists.
Steven from Toronto says, first, last Thursday's show was very entertaining. Lindsay was more than held her own. Andy was a douche at times. Overall, it was very good. Eric did get thrown under the bus and then have it backed over him again several times, which was unfortunate. But funny.
Well, that was the only part that I...
Wow. Did you listen to the show?
Accurate.
I actually did, yeah.
Wow.
And then Lindsay, you know, proceeded to email me and tweet me about everything that she said to try to, you know,
I think you should have Lindsay and the most interesting Patriots fan in the world fill in, not replace anyone, just when you guys are absent. On to football. I'm concerned with the trend of the last three playoff losses. Two followed Patriot wins within a few weeks prior to the playoff loss. It gives me the view that the Jets and Giants made adjustments and the Patriots coaching staff did not. Same can be said for the Ravens, but the regular season game was in the first half. Finally, a big part of those adjustments were to put pressure on Brady, which they did, and it worked, three times in a row. Trent Dilfer made a comment that he saw the coach's film of the Jets playoff game. His observation was that receivers were open, however, Brady was not getting them the ball due to pressure and confusion. Same thing that the Giants did. Same thing that the Ravens did. Why are the Patriots not making adjustments to deal with this in playoff games? And why did Mr. Kraft feel he had to make his famous game plan comment? And, Paul, please do not say they were 14-2. They are fine. They are not. They are turning into the Colts. Wow.
I just want to state for the record that someone was just chastising me for being a homer. Okay?
Right.
I can live with that.
No, I mean, what do you say about that? The adjustments, the postseason adjustments.
I think that's very, very much a part of football, especially in light of the fact that they had played so recently. Those two games took place, what, 5-6 weeks apart? Very similar to the game that should not be named. You know, they played the Giants in Week 16, we all remember, and then they played about 5-6 weeks later in Super Bowl 42. I think there is a lot of adjustments that go into that, and I think that when the talent level, I think some could argue, I might be one of them, that the talent level was in favor of the Jets that day. The overall top-to-bottom talent level, the Jets may have had more.
Right.
So when you're trying to trick a team twice in a short span of time, it's hard. So I think there's a lot of validity to that email. I don't think they're fine. I just think they're a very good football team. Offensively, I think they'll be fine. Because until I see otherwise, Tom Brady's good enough to make your offense good. As a lot of people have talked about today, in 2006, the merry band of what, Eric?
Shoemakers.
Was a very good offense. They scored a lot of points, even though they didn't have a lot of talent. Tom Brady will make them score points. I don't think they're just fine because they went 14-2. But, I mean, would you be stunned? Stunned. I'm talking completely and utterly stunned if they didn't make the playoffs?
I wouldn't be completely and utterly stunned.
I would. I mean, barring an injury to number 12,
yeah, but
I would
also,
be
I'm
completely
also factoring
and utterly
that
stunned.
The Jets could be really good.
Yeah, I didn't say they stunned they didn't win the division. I'm talking about just not being a playoff team.
Not even.
To me, it would have to be no Brady for that to happen, like 08.
Okay. For those of you who do want to send stuff to Marcus Cannon, and don't worry that it's 140 characters, he does have a Twitter account. It's at TCUS Cannon. TCUS Cannon is his Twitter account, so you can get in touch with him that way. Thanks, strippers, for that. I had a good email I wanted to read just before I got to that.
It's tough to make adjustments now that they don't let us record anymore, too. Going back to that last email.
Oh, come on now.
Josh from Waterloo says, hey, guys, and Lindsay and Eric. The show with Lindsay and Andy was pretty good at the beginning but then fell off. I blame Rachel. It was going so well until she learned to do Kevin's job in 3 minutes, letting him come in on air and grind the show to a screeching halt.
She was still better than Kevin.
Speaking of Kevin, I saw pictures of what I can only assume to be your girlfriend. That's a female that actually likes you, Eric. She's pretty hot. How many roofies did it take you to get her?
Let's be careful with the shots at the girlfriends.
Or was she your Make-A-Wish sponsor that hooked you up with the Stanley Cup? Oh, you never told us how that went, Kevin. Did you get to see the in?
That was a better story, by the way.
I'll have some pictures up there.
You got
shortly.
Pictures of you and the Stanley Cup?
Did you drink
Cup?
Out of it? Or
wow.
You drank out of the Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's a good time.
I liked Lindsay's story, too, though.
Oh, about the mechanic that knew all of us?
Yeah.
Just the tip.
Well, didn't she know you, Paul, but not Andy or something like that?
Oh, Andy told me that he said, I know who Paul Perillo and Andy Hart are.
Oh, I thought Lindsay spun it like...
That's an even better story then.
Yeah.
Yemi from Texas says, I want to bring up something from last Tuesday's show. What does Fred think of Charlie Weiss in his offensive system? Paul insinuated on the show that Fred doesn't like Weiss. Why, Fred? I think Charlie Weiss is a good offensive coordinator, but
yeah,
I
it's not because of his system.
No,
he doesn't like Charlie
Weiss. I think
he has
ambitions that are a lot like Bill Parcells. He's always thinking of the next thing, and I think he's got a huge ego. And I think Bill Belichick doesn't need that right now. I think that he likes the way things are in his system. He doesn't need anyone coming in and being the guy. And Charlie's got a big. He's got a big personality.
Stomach.
You know, well, that too. But he's got a big personality, and I think Bill just wants people who want to just do their job, you know, at this point. I think he has faith in the system. The system works. There's no reason to bring in somebody like that. So that's just all I'm saying. Let's see.
Did you find that email?
Which one?
You said it was one you really wanted to read.
I read it.
Oh, okay.
Greg from the billing department, what's up, fellas? Including Eric, the show was really not bad at all on Thursday. I enjoyed it, and Three Wise is always welcome to come back and should be the permanent fill-in. She was great, and her sarcasm along with Andy's childish, perverted humor was amazing. It was 100 times better than anything that No Socks or B-Lo did the week prior. So Andy likes to hear himself talk, and he likes to go off on random insane rants, but it's a really good mix with everyone else when we have the whole crew. And Lindsay put him in his place real quick on Thursday. We just have too many Andy haters. I think all of
you
guys...
No, we don't have enough of them.
I think all of you guys are awesome. The best part was probably Lindsay's story about Eric and his binocs that he forgot on the way to practice, or the new girl that was training making farting noises when she didn't know how to play a funny drop. To football. Now, quick and to the point, what chance do you think that we will get Rice, Ali, or both? Or is there a better chance of us to just pick up Jags and bodies to fill in? All right, guys, have a great day. See you Thursday. And welcome back, Fred. I hope that the trip worked out well and that you got to unwind.
You didn't talk about your trip at all, Fred.
It was just lacrosse. Big lacrosse brawl at the UMass Midsummer
Classic. And you didn't get video of on your iPhone.
Yeah. One of the Mass teams fought a team from Long Island. Big brawl.
Parents. Was there a winner?
Well, the Mass team won the game.
Of the brawl.
And I think they probably won the brawl, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any arrests?
There would have been, but it broke up, and they dispersed into the crowd before the UMass campus police showed up. So
I have some additional information on that dream team. Basil, you were asking me which teams had the most. Mike Sando broke that down. Green Bay and Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Placed 9 players on ballots. Kansas City, New Orleans, Philadelphia, and Arizona had 8. Mm. San Francisco, the Giants, and the Patriots had 7. Now, again, I want to reiterate, the Patriots 7 is a bit misleading because one is Belichick and one is Brandon Tate as a kick returner. So they really only had 5.
Yeah.
And only one on offense.
And only one on offense that led the league in offense last year.
All right, well, stay tuned for Thursday for another edition of EverythingButPatriots.com.
I'm going to reiterate the Patriots. I'm going to reiterate that I was called out for being a homer today.
That's true.
That's homer.
All right, I will be here on Thursday. I'm not going to be
as
out.
Will I.
So, as will I.
And I think Andy, too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So Andy will be here to defend himself. And Kevin will be
after
back.
He gets a quick swim in the pool and runs with the kids.
I have no idea where all his guests will be on Thursday in the booth, but I'm assuming that he'll have a full crowd in there. So thanks for listening today. And
Basil, thanks for almost getting me lunch.
We'll talk to you on Thursday. Make me throw my hands in the air. Hey, it's my jam. Y'all don't understand. I'ma make you understand what's pumping in my CD player. Player. Party all night like yeah, yeah, yeah. Charlie got a hands in the air. Make me wanna take. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.